Blog Talk Radio.
Every time.
Every time.
And get this, it is bladder.
Well, here we are again. It's always such a pleasure. Remember when you tried to kill me twice? Laughing under the circumstances, I've been shockingly nice. You want your freedom, baby?
I tell you, I'm waiting for somebody to show up on that new X Factor show dressed like GLaDOS and sing this song. It's gonna happen. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen,
it is lunch with Ginger and Corey. I had to think who we were
talking to. I had to think who
it's Thursday morning. I'll be speaking.
Ah, good morning, good morning. Lovely peoples. It's Thursday.
Yay!
Yay! You know what? I have so much news. I want to share.
I know.
There was a lot of news yesterday, but it was not nearly this much. Oh, amazing. Thursdays, it's like they know.
I know. And you know, and I say there's a whole lot of news today, and there is, except that they won't give me images, so I don't want to put their stuff up.
Well,
I'm pouting. I'm
did you get to watch? This has nothing to do with gaming, but I'm just like, I'll tie this in later on. If you listen later tonight, you'll see how I'm going to tie this in, because that's how I roll. But did you happen to watch the new X Factor show?
I don't watch TV.
I keep forgetting Ginger doesn't watch
TV. TV rots the brain. I'd rather rot it with video games.
True, very true. But for those of you who didn't watch it or don't know, I hate reality shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate the reality shows that's like Jersey Shore.
Oh my God. Yes, that stuff just kills you.
Yeah, I don't like those. But I do love the reality shows that are like game shows. You know, like Top Model. Somebody wins something when it's over.
Yeah.
Those I like, but like very few of those. Top Model is one, and Top Model is one because some of you out there, when you're teens and early 20s, are just dumb. The lies you tell yourself, it just cracks me up. Girls, really? But I watched X Factor last night thinking it's going to be like American Idol. The only reason I did watch it is because, as you know here, we love us some English boys, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I love listening to Simon Cowell talk, so I put him on while I'm, you know, over here working on lovely things for you people out there. Reviews.
So many lovely things.
So many lovely things and reviews. And I think this show, I think we're seeing the last season of American Idol next year. Y'all say goodbye to it. It's out of there. I have never cried so much in 2 hours' time in I don't know how long. And not just crying from, you know, sadness, but happiness. Just good show. And the only reason I'm mentioning it is because I love inspiring things, which is how, see, mm-hmm. I'm going to tie this into tonight. If you read my rant during the week, I love watching things that inspire me. And this show, the whole show, is about people who missed their chance or were little people who couldn't have a chance because American Idol is the lowest age, is I think like 16. X Factor is starting at age 12. So we had a cutie pie come out and sing first, but she wasn't the one that got me. It was the 42-year-old woman who said that her guy that she was with previously, her baby daddy, because she has two kids with him and they're little, and apparently it's over, said that he was telling her that she had no talent. Did we lose the blog talk? Wow.
Well, apparently my internet decided to drop, so I'm on my phone. Yay!
It actually was not you. No,
it was. I have no internet access over here.
Wow, and BT just, BT dropped us for a little bit, so it wasn't entirely you. But that makes sense. But anyway, as I was saying, the guy told her she had no talent, she was too old, and she sang, and the crowd gave her a standing ovation. She does have talent. So that's going to be one of those, y'all know I love this story. Look at the guy, lady this morning and go, what? You should call him this morning and say, what? Yeah. Anyway, that was my love my inspiration. Love those stories. But anyway, so watch the show with me. Me and a couple other Key Gamer alum, Wonder Woman, I'm sorry. And I want to say Fab Geekling, we're all watching together last night. So thanks, ladies. Nice to know I'm not the only gamer that likes to sit. We were all crying. It was just lovely.
Aww.
That's a good show right there. We need us a gamer show like that. Not that world's, what is it? The world's greatest gamer or world ultimate game. That is the stupidest thought of.
God, I've heard about it. I'm very glad I don't watch TV because of that.
I watch it when somebody I know calls and tells me I'm going to be on, Corey. We get your support. But notice we never mentioned it on the air. I love y'all, but that show, I can't support that crap. The stupid show. I'm sorry. Only a gamer likes to watch other gamers play games. And even then, there's not a whole lot of gaming in it. Their challenges are in the physical world. So what's the point?
Yeah. No, if I'm going to watch that, it's going to be exciting.
How about a game we've never seen before, like Gears of War 4, and you have them playing it, something they never played before, and stick them on it and let them compete?
That would be awesome. Yeah, exactly.
Come on now, crazy people. Anyway.
Who's the natural killer?
That's right.
All right.
Let's move it along. Mm-hmm. Do it.
Do it. All right. GamePolitics.com this morning. Sony changed TOS because of AT&T mobility versus conception decision. All right. So they go on to say, you may think the unprecedented and massive security breach that took down multiple Sony services, including Sony Online Entertainment and PlayStation Network, is what pushed Sony to make the changes that it did recently to the PSN terms of service, but a CNN report points to another reason, the Supreme Court. Last week, Sony changed the document for PlayStation Network, asking customers to give up their rights to file class action lawsuits against the company and its partners. As we noted earlier today, the writer goes on to say, customers can opt out by sending the company a letter in the mail. We also noted that most people did not notice the new clause in the TOS and probably did not give a whit about what they are losing their rights to sue. Sony tells CNN that the new changes were made because of a Supreme Court decision in April, AT&T Mobility versus Conception. Due to a Supreme Court ruling, the company was allowed to enforce a clause that included in employment contracts that barred workers from bringing class action lawsuits and forced them to go through arbitration. A spokeswoman for Sony's PlayStation unit wrote in an email to CNN, the Supreme Court recently ruled in the AT&T case that language like this is enforceable. The updated language in the TOS is designed to benefit both the consumer and the company by ensuring that there is adequate time and procedures to resolve disputes. As the CNN report points out, arbiters are usually retired judges who collect ridiculous fees of $300 or more an hour. Arbitration never involves a jury, and arbiters are typically more sympathetic to the corporations. As we noted earlier, it will be interesting to see if someone somewhere challenges the revised TOS in a courtroom. Many legal experts do not believe it can stand up in a court of law, mostly because of the way Sony made consumers aware of it. Sony, y'all are just trying to get your pee-pee smacked, aren't y'all?
Yeah, that's just wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to be sending my letter in. I don't know about y'all.
I think
we should go to gamevoters.org and see if we can't get them to do that, whatever this form that they have. Maybe they should step in. Gamevoters.org, mm-hmm. Maybe you guys should step in. Hello? Step in.
Yeah, maybe. Step up. Do mm-hmm. something.
Yes, yeah, a form so that players can send all that stuff in because, you know, some of us just don't do that stamp and envelope thing. I do like it, but.
Yeah.
All right, so there's rumblings going on, iPhone 5 and
rumblings.
All that kind of business. And they're saying that we might see the iPhone 5 by October the 4th. They're saying there's a press event going to be hosted by the new CEO, Tim Cook. And this is over at GI.biz this morning. He says they may potentially be revealing the new model iPhone, maybe, possibly, citing unnamed sources close to Apple. All Things D has posted a story predicting that the tech giant, whose net worth now exceeds that of the U.S. government, Apple share. They said they will hold an event on Tuesday, October the 4th, to reveal at least one new iPhone, with some reports predicting two new models. Whilst the reveal of an iPhone 5 for Western markets this autumn is near inevitability, rumors also abound that a slimmed-down, cheaper model of the iPhone 4 will be unveiled as well. It's going to be aimed, of course, at the Asian market and lower income market, specifically in China. Why don't we get this stuff? We got some lower income people.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe they want an iPhone too.
No, they don't. They want an Android.
Droid. So they're saying if it does go ahead, the event will be Cook's first product rollout following the departure of Steve Jobs earlier this year due to health reasons. Did he ever say it was health reasons? He never said why.
Mm-mm, he never did.
I love how they threw that in. Nobody knows why he left. The event, of course, certainly would be an important asset test for the future of Cook's tenure at the company, which suffered some stock fluctuation after the hugely influential Jobs announced his retirement. Call me crazy, but I'm not all that excited.
No, me either. Not at all.
I no care.
She no care.
I no care. I don't get an iPhone in my market. And, yeah, and you have more money than the U.S. government. You need to share. You can't even spend all that.
Exactly.
Honestly, I think if I have that kind of money, I probably would share. I'd just go around and randomly during the day giving people money. You know, not while they knew it because, you know, that's a good way to get mobbed. But,
yeah,
you know, I'd find somebody sitting at a bus stop, a mom that's got four kids and, you know, looking like she's trying to do something. Just walk up to her and say, you know, here's an envelope, $10,000.
Yeah. What was that? A couple of years ago up in New York, was it? There was a guy that was dressed as Santa who was going around just handing people envelopes of money.
Yeah, and that's what you should do. Come on now. Share your
money. Yeah, exactly.
And don't give it to crackheads. Obviously, crackheads, or you can point them out. They're the ones that are picking rocks up off the ground and stuff and looking at stuff. But, yeah, so people like that, I'd help.
Yeah.
Definitely.
All right, I'm going to pull more stories from GamePolitics.com this morning, and this one is a continuation. Or actually, I guess I should have started with this one originally. We mentioned that you can opt out of Sony's PSN Terms of Service. Well, here we go. A giant bomb report claims that even though you may have agreed to the new PlayStation Network Terms of Service recently, there may still be an option to allow an opt-out. In a nutshell, the new TOS asks users to agree not to sue the company as part of a class action, and requires that you agree to it to gain entry to the network. The paragraph in question from the section is from section 15 of the TOS says, any dispute resolution proceedings, whether in arbitration or court, will be conducted only on an individual basis and not in a class or representative action, or as a named or unnamed member in a class consolidated representative or private attorney general legal action, unless both you and Sony entity with which you have a dispute specifically agree to do so in writing following initiation of arbitration. This provision does not preclude your participation as a member in a class action filed on or before August 20th of 2011. It turns out that buried within the updated TOS is an opt-out, but it gives users 30 days from the date they agreed to the new terms of service to jump through hoops necessary to retain their rights if you have a mail Sony, you have to mail Sony a letter. Giant Bomb has created a form letter and offers the mailing address of the company should you want to retain those rights. Clearly, millions of PSN users will use Clearly, millions of PSN users will lose their rights because they don't know any better and are too lazy. All right, so Giant Bomb talked with Washington attorney Thomas, Buscaglia, better known by our circles as the game attorney, to get some insight on the legalities of the new terms of service. All right, so what does he have to say? He says this is certainly not standard practice by any standards. In fact, it may well not be enforceable. Time will tell on that one. The U.S. Federal Trade Commission and various state consumer protection agencies could have a problem with it. Also, some courts might not allow it to be enforced due to existing state court precedent. It will be interesting to see the way Sony handled the new terms of service can stand up in court. It certainly would have a hard time in regions such as the UK and Australia where there are clearly defined laws against such anti-consumer behavior. In the interim, you should visit Giant Bomb, read the instructions, print, and fill out the form letter they have created, and mail it to Sony as soon as possible. Even if you are unlikely to be involved in a class action against the company, it's still a good idea to show them that you, as a consumer, are paying attention to what they are trying to do. They have a very good point.
Yes, yes.
I don't even have one, and I think I may do it anyway.
I think I'm going to, yeah. You know what? I wonder if that'll work. That's interesting. Very, very interesting.
Yes. I'm pulling up the website now.
That's amazing. Okay, well, we'll see. I will let you know how that turns out. You let us know how it turns out for you if you start mailing your stuff. I think I'm going to mail in something because it's just my luck something will go wrong and I can't sue. And I'm all about some suing, baby. That was my original chosen career was to be a lawyer. So I'm all about some suing if I can. Mm.
Yes.
All right. And so, yeah, we want to make sure I can. I wonder how far that extends, though. Look, now I want to read it. Does it extend to, like, stuff like damage from caused by their console to your items, like your Blu-ray disc, or maybe physical pain? I'm just wondering.
You know, I don't know.
What if it explodes and you get the shrapnel in your boobs or something? I threw that in there for Jay Dukes, by the way, because he says we talk about boobs.
I know, that was my first tweet to him this morning. Hey, Jay, boobs.
He said, Ginger always gets the news articles of people's names that are impossible to pronounce, and it's the hashtag, it's a trap.
It is. I got to that part, and I was like, oh, great.
Here we go.
I'm just going to start calling everybody Mrs. and Mr. Smith.
I like that. That should work just fine. All right, so the lovely people over at UKEA, I want to make sure I say UKEA, sent us over the press release regarding The Sims 3 Pets Limited Edition. If you were interested in picking up that expansion pack, The Sims 3 Pets is going to be for Xbox 360, PS3, so to let anyone play with life as a cat or a dog, which we told you we were wholly against. Some of you, but some people like that. They're called furries. Also, for the first time in franchise history, players will be able to live life through their pet's eyes as fully controllable pet sims. Today, The Sims 3 Pets reveals that a full list of limited edition pets offered for the Xbox 360 and PS3 game, available through pre-order and while supplies last. Players can explore their new town as an Iron Terrier or a Robodane, hunt down ghosts, or a skeleton cat, or an Aztec panthera, and so much more. I am not buying this. No. So the full list of limited edition pets includes an Aztec-inspired Aztec pantera, pantera cat, a panda palm dog, and a panda chow dog, skunk Burman cat.
You want to live life through your cat or your dog's eyes. There are these cool little camera things you can get to put on their collar that will take pictures randomly
of what they're
so you can see what your cat, your dog's up to.
Now, the only one I find interesting, and I say good one, EA, is there's going to be a Dragon Age-inspired Mabari Warrior Terrier dog and the Mabari Warhound dog. Those of you who play Dragon Age will know exactly what those are. And I love my dog in Dragon Age. I had him leveled up to the hilt. He had those vicious attacks where he'd rip people's throats out, and I'd just watch. Yes, get him.
That's hot.
Go, puppy.
Go, puppy. Go, puppy. You rip that throat out. Go, puppy. You're such a good puppy. Did you rip the throat out? It's so cute.
Bring mommy the spine. Good boy.
All right. We may be slightly sick here.
And, of course, you can go over to thesims3.com. /content /EA. You know where to find it if you really must have this game. I don't see myself playing this one at all. Not interested, people.
Not so much. Sorry, guys.
On one hand, the concept is interesting to have a game where you play as an animal, but I'd like something serious, please. Some of you keep going to the cute side. You know, play as your puppy or raise your pet. No, give me something to do where maybe the person was human and they ended up trapped in an animal's body and they had to try to communicate with the humans and you only have certain...
Okay.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, I can get behind that.
Maybe
something along the line. No.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe something along the lines of Alan Awake, but you know, you're the dog. That I would want to play.
Mm.
Just saying, people. I don't... This cute business don't... I don't want to be a cute little furry. I don't even like furries in Second Life. Ginger will tell you. I won't stand next to them.
She doesn't even like little kids in Second Life.
I almost adopted a kid the other day, and then it just weirded me out again. I'm trying to get there. I really am.
I need to bring mine around you.
Well, yes, you, because you're not crazy. I'm just my luck. I'll get the crazy one that'll be like, Mommy, I like you. And I said,
No.
And you went back to the fashion agency. You should have stayed in character. No, ma'am.
Mom's just more cute. I like buying the little girl clothes and whatnot and putting them on her just because she's adorable.
Oh, speaking of which.
Just like a dress-up thing.
Nothing to do with gaming, but Beyonce's having a girl. Anyway.
She is? Oh, way to go. Yay. Congrats, Beyonce and JC. That's so awesome. Mm-hmm. Yay. It's like the whole world's all happy that they're having a baby.
We are. Tell you, there's going to be a parade when the baby's born here.
Yes.
I'm not even joking. I think somebody's planning one.
No, that doesn't surprise me. Oh, my God.
Go ahead, Ginger.
All right. You Angry Birds people?
No.
And you people in Singapore?
No.
Yeah. All right. So Rovio Entertainment, in cooperation with Singtel, is delighted to launch the first ever Angry Birds crowd game at Singapore F1 GP.
Stop it.
I wish I could. All right, so Rovio, the creator of the global phenomenon Angry Birds, has teamed up with Upplause Ltd., the creators of the world's first live event gaming platform, to develop a new Angry Birds crowd game that can be played by audiences at live events. Rovio and Upplause will take this innovative new gaming experience to the biggest live events in the world. Everywhere from sports stadiums to rock concerts, fans both new and old will get a chance to participate. When the audience is the controller, everybody gets to join in the fun. All right, so who is this? Peter Vesterbacka, Mighty Eagle and CMO of Rovio, says, through social participation, our fans will get to interact with the Angry Birds in an entirely new way. We think this new form of gaming will give fans a great opportunity to form a strong emotional connection with the characters. Really, it's birds and pigs. How much of a strong emotional connection do you need? All right, so he goes on to say, this is Veli-Pekka Marin, CEO of Upplause, says, this partnership opens a tremendous opportunity for both companies to grow and create amazing experiences for the biggest live events in the world. So after the initial launch in Singapore, Rovio plans to bring the experience to more events and all Angry Birds fans around the world. No.
Here's another addition to that Angry Birds thing. Did anybody catch the commercial where they're now paired up with some company that makes nuts? And they ran the commercial last night during X Factor.
No.
That was disturbing to me because TV in my office is behind me, and I hear behind me, the whole Angry Birds sound. I'm like, what the hell? Is somebody in here with me? And playing on the and I turn around and they're on the TV, some nut company.
No.
And it's like, for you angry nuts out there, I'm like, you people with Angry Birds, just stop it. Mm-hmm. Please, just stop. Go away. Go away. We don't want any more Angry Birds. All right, speaking of people making games, somebody out there is going to be making the next Angry Birds, I'm sure, and you're sitting there saying, how will I do it? Well, guess what? Game Maker has released HTML5 tools.
Yeah.
Yay! Actually, the name of the company that makes Game Maker is Yo-Yo Games. They've announced their launch of the HTML5 version of its game tools, allowing users to develop content playable in any HTML5 compatible browser on any platform. That's hot. HTML5 outputs games onto HTML5 compatible JavaScript with no extra plugins or no additional installs on top required. And this new version utilizes the same UI and drag-and-drop functionality of previous Game Maker versions, while also introducing a range of new features, including team collaboration for allowing multiple team members to work simultaneously on a project. Sandy Duncan, who's the CEO of Yo-Yo Games, said Game Maker HTML5 is a huge step forward for the Game Maker lineage, and we're very proud to have launched this new version, which brings game and web content creation within the reach of anyone with the inclination to try our package. As HTML5 wave begins to break across the web and it becomes adopted as the de facto standard, Game Maker HTML5 will undoubtedly lead the revolution in easily created, easily deployable content that's richer and more complex than ever before. Of course, HTML5 is now available for purchase at the Yo-Yo Games website at a temporarily reduced price, and I'm going to tell you what that price is because I know some of you out there are broke like myself. You need to know how much money you got to know how much money to save or how much games you got to sell. So it's about $99 now. I say grab it up. That's about as cheap as it's going to get, other than free and from the wrong places. This is one you don't want to be stealing, I'm going to tell you. Because these are the programs that they hide the bad stuff in when you steal them.
Yes.
Because they know you want it. They do also offer a beta sign up, which would probably get you at least to be able to play with it for free. So if you scroll down to, I'd be helpful if I told you the page, wouldn't it? yoyogames.com/gamemaker/HTML5. And if you scroll down, you scroll down to the bottom of that page, at the very bottom underneath all the features is a beta sign up, which will probably get you in to at least, you know, like I said, play with it without having to pay. Or contact them. Maybe if you beg nice enough or you show them your fluffy cakes, if you have them, you might be able to get a copy. I don't know. I don't know if you guys have. I have played with Game Maker. I think I have a version of Game Maker that came with a level design book. It's really nice program. Very nice.
Very nice. All right. Some of you people, y'all are nuts. This story came out yesterday, but we weren't here, so I'm going to go ahead and read it today.
Go ahead.
And again, some of y'all crazy nuts. Oh, actually, this came out 2 days ago. This came out after we went off there the other day. All right. So there's some new research out. You people. Some players continue game experience in the real world. I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com. They pulled it from Google. All right, so here's one of the oddest research studies I've come across in a long time involving gamers. According to a research from Nottingham Trent University, UK, and the and Stockholm University in Sweden, some gamers are so immersed in the games they play that when they stop, they transfer their experiences into the real world. Researchers are calling this odd phenomenon game transfer phenomena, or GTP. The most extreme examples of GTP involve players claiming that they reach for a search button when looking for someone in a crowd or see energy bars near people's heads. Some of the players surveyed also claimed that they felt the need to press buttons even when a controller was not in their hands, or they would visualize menus of topics to think about. Oh, my God.
Okay, that's too far.
Yeah. All right. So Professor Mark Griffiths, one of the report's authors, says, "We believe this is the first study to attempt to explore game transfer phenomena, and these initial findings have proved extremely interesting. Almost all the players reported some type of GTP, but in different ways and with varying degrees of intensity. We are now following this up with a further study of a much larger number of gamers." He adds, "A recurring trend suggests that intensive gaming may lead to negative psychological, emotional, or behavioral consequences with enormous implications for software developers, parents, policymakers, and mental health professionals." The research was conducted by researchers at Nottingham Trent University and Stockholm University and involved 42 players ages 15 to 21 years old. The study will be published in the next issue of the International Journal of Cyber Behavior, Psychology, and Learning. Yeah, no, I don't see health bars next to people's heads. I don't reach for a search function. I do look at buildings sometimes and wonder, I wonder how many friends that would take to make.
But, yeah, me too.
I see a piece of clothing, I'm like, ooh, I wish I had that in Second Life, you know, or ooh, I want to take pictures of that so I can just have the texture.
You see, ours is more of I want to bring stuff from either world to the other side.
So yes.
Now, I will tell you this. I think this happened with Snow and I when we were out of the club. We were looking at the girls' boots, and we both were doing this. Just it happened to be at the same time. Oh, her boots are cute. I wonder if she has an LM. An LM is a landmark. For those of you who don't play Second Life, an LM is a landmark to where you go in the game to buy the boots. So I was like, oh, she wonder if she has an LM. And then we looked at each other and started laughing. I was like, okay, that's too much Second Life.
Too much Second Life.
But no, there's no more. There's none of that seeing bars. Unless I'm extreme, I have to be extremely exhausted. Like the night GTA 4 came out, I stayed up all night playing, and then I had to go back to the store for some reason the next day, and I was a little tired and was thinking I should hit this guy on the motorcycle in front of me, because that's what I like to do in the game, is hit people riding motorcycles.
And
yeah, I was like, hey, yeah, so that was bad. I said, hey, I need to get back home quickly.
Yes.
And get some sleep.
As close as I come to that is like dreaming about games.
Yeah, I do that a lot.
Yeah.
But people that are just, like, visualizing menus, y'all need some help, or you need to stay off your computer. Just unplug for a couple of days and go do something outside.
Something. Yes.
Walk. Mm-hmm. You're just spending too much time with your computer.
Yes.
Oh, is it my turn?
It is your turn.
Well, speaking of Second Life, Sony is showing off the new PlayStation Home, which actually launched back in 2008 as a virtual world, very similar to Second Life, and they're saying is now becoming a hub for social gaming. I don't believe that. I was in there, and I was just disgusted. The redesign is aimed at jumping on the big trend in online games towards social games, free-to-play business models, where users play for free and pay real money on virtual goods. It is the kind of gamble that Sony needs to make in order to hang on to its 23 million registered users at a time when social networks and mobile games are stealing consumers. Jack Busser, I guess his name is, who's the director of PlayStation Home, said in an interview that the core of Home will be a hub, which there's a picture of if you want to go over to VentureBeat and check out the picture. It looks just like Second Life, honestly.
Nice.
He says, well, you'll be able to socialize with friends and immediately find game-related activities to do. Sony has a closed beta test right now for the new Home, which they hope to open up to the public soon. And right now they're saying when you walk into the hub, you'll see a featured game and the activity board that lists everything you can do. Home, of course, is evolving to become more of a platform for playing social games. The 230 titles available on Home are aimed at Home's mostly hardcore fans, but they are lighter, more casual experiences than users would find in a disc-based PlayStation 3 game. It's a far cry from Home's original mission in 2008 as a virtual world for gamers trying to rival Second Life. And I'm going to tell you in a minute why it didn't work. Sony shows us its plans for Home at E3 back in June, and it's been tweaking the experience ever since. And they, of course, announced some preliminary plans in August. But now the design is taking full shape for a full launch later this year. The whole idea, Buster said, is to keep users engaged for a long period of time to measure what they like, and then to revise the offerings of Home so that it'll be more amenable to the audience. He said, that's what we've learned from the rise of social gaming. Indeed, Sony took feedback into account in creating different sections within Home. The central plaza of Home will now be replaced by a futuristic transit called the Hub. The Hub includes metagames where you can fulfill various quests, such as defending the Hub from attack. Okay, that sounds fun. Home will still have offerings such as navigation, shopping, socializing, and doing movies. Get rid of all that other than the movies. I think the socializing and movies should be enough. Get rid of the shopping. Besides quests, the Hub integrates games, community events, and user-generated content. At the Hub, users can look at an activity board where they'll see various games in progress and missions they can fulfill. They can also create their own events to share with friends. Visitors can earn points for game-like activities. Blah, blah, blah. And they're also saying they're going to give them the ability to make their own goods. That's where they're trying to get, like, Second Life. It's not going to work. You can't really do that on a console.
Nuh-uh.
The reason why Second Life is so successful is because the entire world is built by the players. Linden Labs, for those of you who don't know, the people that made Second Life didn't build anything you see when you log into that game. Everything is built by the people playing the game. From the clothes, the hair, the jewelry, just everything. The buildings are built by the players, and they give you the tool to do so. Obviously, when you log in, the viewer is the tool. You can't do that with a console.
No, you can't.
You can't pull in things that, like the designers that make the clothes, they actually build the clothes in Photoshop and then they import it into the game. You can't import anything into Sony, and they've already told you that if you do anything to the console, you can't sue them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to let you bring anything in there. Or if they do, if you mess something up, you know, whereas with Second Life, you can call them up and say, hey, I screwed up, and they can reset the server that you happen to, the area that you're on, and you get all your stuff back or whatever have you. Can't do that with PlayStation. They're like,
nope.
What? So what? Anyway, but I do like defending the Hub. That looks interesting. Yeah, and I wouldn't mind watching a movie with some friends. I do that in Second Life on occasion.
Yes, actually, I found several good theaters recently.
Yeah, that's kind of fun. Some of you I like enough to sit down and watch a movie with.
Yeah.
It's something I've already seen, because when I watch a movie for the first time, I don't like anybody to be there with me. I will tell you to shut up. Oh, look, did you not see me listen? No.
Yes, that annoys me, because then I'm like, what did they say? Oh, I hate you.
Especially in the theater, you can't rewind it. Stop it.
Exactly. And I just paid like $13 to watch. No.
Whatever, you're going to be quieter. I'm going to cut you.
Oh my God, gonna be quieter. I'm gonna cut you. Corey, I love you.
Okay.
All right. What am I? Oh my God. All right. More with crazy people. I love you, crazy people. Really, I do. GamePolitics.com this morning. Singapore man waits 29 hours for Gears of War 3. Yes.
Love.
That is some serious game love. All right, how long would you wait for your favorite video game to be released? 4 hours? 8 hours? How about 29 hours? That's how long one man waited in Singapore to get his hands on his copy of Gears of War 3 on Monday.
Yeah, I was serious.
Yeah. Nanyang Polytechnic student William Tin sat at the Funnin Digital Life Mall on Monday so he could be the first gamer in Singapore to own the latest game from Epic Games and Microsoft. Despite the wait, the 22-year-old was in good spirits and good health thanks to his family members who made sure he was okay. Good thanks to family members. The local launch event drew more than 1,000 fans. Tin told local news media after getting the game, "I feel great. I've been playing from Gears of War till now. I'm a huge fan of it. Previously, Gears of War and Gears of War 2 didn't have any official kind of launch. This one is the final episode, and they have a big event, so I definitely had to come." Tin said that he cleared his schedule for the week to play the game. "No more going out for the week, just Gears," he adds. Besides his friends, Tin credits his mother and sister, who are also video game players, with helping him to make it through the 29-hour wait. "My mother and my sister play as well. My mother came to accompany me while I queued." Tin's mother was apparently not the only helpful mom. 65-year-old Florence Fua patiently waited in line for hours to get a pre-ordered copy of the game for her son. She said, "I'm collecting the game for my son. He's in his 30s. He is not free. He's working today." Aw, that's so sweet. She waited 5 hours before she received her copy of the game. Oh, my God. That's like, that's some paternal love right there.
Yes, it is.
Wow.
I can tell you now, my mom would have been like, "How long?" Oh,
You can get it tomorrow.
You can get it later. Well, you got to have it now. Are you going to die? That was her favorite thing. Are you going to die if you don't get it now?
I hated that.
Once I told her, yes, I'm going to die if I don't have it now. She says, "Well, we'll miss you." I can't say. I like I said, I had my experience of camping out once. So I don't think I'll be doing that again. I can wait. I don't need to have it just that bad. The Wii, I camped out all night.
Yeah.
Not good. Oh, my God. Okay.
I never queued for anything was a Harry Potter book, but I was with my little sister, so that doesn't count.
We've got breaking news, and we'll probably talking about tonight. I think I must have been really tired. How could I miss this? Or maybe she kept it quiet. But you guys know our lovely Frag Dolls.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the original founder, of course, is Morgan Romine Roulette, who my significant other is madly in love with and will leave me for if she ever comes here to get him. Every time I go to an event, he's like, "I need a picture of Roulette." But Roulette has left Ubisoft.
Yes,
she has joined Red 5 Studios in its esports division. They're saying they're very thrilled to have her and know that with her caliber of experience and deep community roots, Firefall is poised to take the world of esports to the next level. It's a game that really lends itself to competitive tournaments, so working to provide gamers with a new arena for regular competition and the chance to challenge themselves in a way they haven't before. And Morgan is just the person to champion and develop our esports campaign around Firefall. Of course, Romaine has worked for Red 5 Entertainment as a community consultant since 2007, or actually from 2007 to 2009, and August and then March, respectively. She, of course, then went on to found Frag Dolls, Ubisoft's team of professional girl gamers. And she said, "I'm excited to join such an exceptionally talented team and to work on something as groundbreaking as Firefall. Since I believe this game has awesome esports potential because Red 5 is committed to creating a competitive experience that is fun to watch as it is to play, and I can't wait for our first tournaments." Kern, who was the team lead on World of Warcraft, founded Red 5 Studios in 2005. It's based in California, and it's currently developing its free-to-play title, Firefall, which will be released this December. Congratulations, Morgan.
That's awesome.
I love you. I'm going to miss you. I don't know why I said, you know what, I keep saying that like I'm not going to see her. Everybody always changes jobs. You know what I have trouble with? Remembering who went where. I'm still talking to them about other stuff. You're like, "Cora, I don't work there anymore." Oh, girl. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I forgot. Anyway, it is your turn.
Yes, it is. It is my turn. All right. You people and your loopholes. GamePolitics.com this morning, Playham finds an online gambling loophole. Wow, it's just what we need. All right, so online gambling for real money is illegal, but a loophole manipulated to great effect by a new company called Playham makes it perfectly legal. The trick being manipulated by the New York-based startup is that it allows users to place wagers on themselves as they compete against each other for cash or prizes.
I knew somebody was going to find a way around that gambling business. Mm-hmm. I knew it. It's a matter of time.
Just a matter of time, because you gamblers, y'all are, like, seriously hardcore.
That's why they took it out of Second Life. That's why they took it out. People broke and crying.
Mm-hmm. It's still around, if you know where to look.
Yeah.
All right, so Playhem co-founder Ryan DeSanto says what Playhem is doing is legal, except in about a dozen states, including Arkansas, Iowa, Maryland, South Carolina, Illinois, and Vermont. In these states where it's not legal, people can still play sans the cash. Players purchase credits, wager what they want on themselves, and then redeem what they win for cash and prizes. While DeSanto says that users could technically wager real-world cash, he said that his company removed it from the service because people liked virtual currency more. It's also a better fit with Playhem partners, publishers, and media companies. The site went live this week after an extensive beta test that began in February. Right now, players can play select console games such as Tiger Woods, FIFA, or Madden, or online PC games such as Blizzard's StarCraft. The technology is also capable of supporting big professional tournaments. To that end, it has partnered with IGN Entertainment and Caesars Entertainment to bring pro gaming leagues to Caesars casinos. Playhem will manage the qualifying rounds that will be played online. Finalists will then head to Atlantic City in October. Yeah. Y'all should stay away from this. This does not sound good.
Man, I remember there used to be full-fledged casinos up in Second Life. I mean, mm-hmm. with the whole slot machines, you pay your dollar, your little linden, and you pull the lever. You win $2 maybe, or two lindens, or maybe none, or you lose money. And they disappeared really quickly. People playing Texas Hold'em for money. Oh, all that stuff disappeared. I mean, literally overnight. Second Life came in and was like, no.
Yeah. And see, and that's the deal. There's, well, that's a whole other topic altogether.
We have to talk about that on a night show.
More to do with, you know, Second Life trying to enforce laws in other countries and whatnot. When,
well, I on one hand,
servers
like,
that are hosted in other countries.
Well, yeah. See, that's called the we start getting into virtual IP and what they should and shouldn't have control over. I don't know. That's kind of where I'm on the fence. On one hand, you know, you can have a server all you want, but if you have nothing to connect it to, you can't play Second Life. But at the other, on the other hand, you know, if the server's there, their laws should apply. So I don't know. That's an interesting one. Sticky,
mm-hmm.
sticky. All right, guys, it is time for us to take a break.
Is it already?
Yes. Yeah.
Gone by so quickly.
And you're not going to get any music, so maybe we won't take a break. Wow. Let me try
this. Don't want us to take a break.
No, GLaDOS doesn't want us to take a break. We're going to try to refresh our panel and see if that helps. Watch.
Dirty, dirty, dirty GLaDOS.
Look, we'll see if that helps. Let's see. Let's try it again. No, that made it worse. I'm sorry, guys. Y'all got to do without music this time. Okay.
Well, GLaDOS. How horrible, GLaDOS.
Just so you know, in about 2 to 3 minutes, we're going to be going bye-bye. So you know where to find us, GamerNatrix.com, GamerGirlsRadio.com. You can also... Wow, that was weird. Email came in. You can also make sure you check us out later on tonight. We'll be talking about the Twitter fight that I had earlier this week. And
Are they coming, by the way?
I have no idea if they're coming. I know they've been invited to come and debate with us. They probably won't. Y'all know I can be intimidating. But we're going to talk about it when I have, you know, a Snow. You know Snow is going to go off. You know this.
Yeah, she is.
She's going to go off, but I really want to do a show on it, so it's on, so it's on, what is it, let me go old school, so it's on wax, there's no wax anywhere, it's digital, but those of you who are too young are probably like, wax, what's that? Yeah, that means you're too young. You're too ginger, youngster. Ginger's a baby. Ginger's a baby. Aren't you our baby, or is Blaster the baby?
Blaster's younger than I am.
I think he's the baby. Blaster's a baby. He's gonna cut me. So anyway, you know where to find us. We'll be back here later on tonight, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, for a whole entire hour. And if we go over tonight, we may actually have some non-streaming to listen to again.
Yay.
If we get talking real good.
Yeah. Y'all were definitely talking, I think, into streaming just about last time.
Were we?
Yeah, y'all were cutting it pretty darn close.
Wow. We didn't even know. We were just going. Okay. Well, while we're still here, because I'm trying to talk into the break, but it's not working. Y'all, that's what it is. I can't get this out. You've been here to talk about the game Salem. Salem, which is due out next year, has released a teaser trailer, which we have on our channel. You can check it out. If you want to see the demo premiere, it's going to be on September 22nd, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on twitch.tv. They're saying, of course, they just announced this today. They're going to be a series of live stream demos that will allow players to get a look behind the scenes into the progress being made into the company's forthcoming titles from Paradox. The first game, of course, will be Salem, which is the highly anticipated MMORPG being created.
Yes, Corey's going crazy over this.
Yes, I am. Created by C-Tribe, that is due to release in quarter two of 2012. A live demo of the game will be broadcast over the internet on Tuesday, September 27th, via the official Paradox Interactive channel on Justin.tv and Twitch.tv. And you can find that link on our website as well. I think I posted that up. And they're saying Gordon Van Dyke, who is the producer over at Paradox Interactive, says our players have asked for more info, more access, and greater view into our into how our title lineup is coming along. He says, we've found a way to bring our community deeper into the process through live streaming videos. Why do I keep wanting to say that? Demos.
Videos.
He says, we want to show off our progress and give our fans and players a chance to ask about how things are developing. If you haven't heard about Salem, it's set in the fantastical New England during, you know, the 17th century. Salem offers free-form, massively multiplayer gameplay in a persistent, ever-changing online world. Players take the roles of intrepid colonists from the old world seeking to make lives for themselves in the new. The colonists are able to use a unique crafting, farming, and building system inspired by 17th century alchemy. Although Salem takes place in a lighthearted gothic setting with a charming and cute art style, there is also open PvP combat complete with permadeath and inheritance. Yes, inheritance.
Inheritance.
Yes.
Pass.
Yes. Players will also experience a mysterious, darker side to the world with creatures based off of actual colonist folklore like skuonks and hide behinds. Oh, God, I remember that. Oh, my head hurts from school. And, of course, witches in an open sandbox world. This is going to be super, super interesting to play. Yeah, I can't wait to play. Some of you just going to die. Just get ready. I'm going to kill you when I find you. I don't know. Just because I can. You can come play with me. Just because I can. We'll just kill each other. Let's have fun.
Yes.
I wonder how the inheritance thing is going to work.
I don't know, but that sounds awesome.
Do you inherit, like, as a descendant? And can somebody else steal your inheritance would be the question. Oh, those are the questions we're going to ask.
Ooh, yes.
I'm going to put that on my calendar to go watch the demo. Actually, why did we have to watch them? I forget. We can ask for some things or something.
Yes, we can.
Duh, Corey. All right. Moving
all right.
along. Tell him, Ginger.
Tell him. All right. I'm pulling this. Actually, I pulled this from Facebook. From the ECA's page, the annual New York Comic Con has always been the central hub for pop culture and video game enthusiasts. Whether you enjoy Halo or Buffy the Vampire Slayer, chances are you'll meet someone who enjoys it just as much as you do, or more. The writer says, I mean, Stan Lee is going to be there. That alone is worth the price of admission, right?
He really is.
Mm-hmm. So with that being said, the ECA is excited to announce that we are going to give one lucky winner a pair of three-day tickets to attend the 2011 New York Comic Con at the Javits Center. Plus, the winner will also receive some extra goodies to go along with the rest of your collection of swag. Awesome, isn't it? All right, so here's what you need to do to win. Here at the ECA Central, we're hoping to reach 16,500 or more Facebook page likes this by October 11th, 2011. Easy, right? So now they want you to go tell your friends and family about this awesome opportunity to attend one of the biggest events of the year. And you really should go over and like the ECA. If you don't, you need your thumbs removed. So
who
it is facebook.com/theECA.
Who doesn't like the ECA?
I don't know. But there's got to be somebody out there who doesn't like the ECA. And for that, they should have their thumbs removed.
Ooh, you know what that means, guys. She's saying you don't need to be gaming.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. All right, so you lovely people out there, I'm doing too many things at once. Again, I just woke up. The drugs are kicking in because Ginger and I had headaches. See how professional we are? You didn't even know we had headaches and stuff because we rock.
We do.
All right, I had an interesting story, and then my lovely Firefox decided to refresh itself, and I have no idea where I was on this page. Oh, wow. Firefox, I don't know what's wrong with you. But we're going to break up soon if you don't stop this. I'm going to move to Safari, and it's that serious. I hate Safari. This is how serious this is. Do you hear what I'm saying to you, Firefox?
Yes. She's going to cut you. She's going to go. And she's going to go to your competitor. She's going to cheat on you.
I'm not going to cheat. I'm telling them I'm going. It's only cheating if they don't know. I will leave you. It's over. It will be
only cheating if they don't know.
That's right. It will be over. Well, here's an interesting legal battle. I don't think we reported this, but I love it because it's a fight. This is actually from yesterday. Viacom is suing former Harmonix shareholder, claiming they owe it a refund of guess how much?
$1 million.
No, try $131 million.
Ouch.
Yes.
You know, when y'all get that $131 million, you know, you don't want the extra $1 million. That's just, you know, an odd number, and
give it to
us. Go ahead and give us the $1 million.
Yeah, you
can have the $130 million. We just want the $1 million.
Hey, yeah, what she said. According to documents published by the Hollywood Reporter, the company, which owned rock band developer Harmonix until earlier this year, paid around $150 million to Harmonix shareholders in performance-related bonuses. This action arises from defendants' failure to return to Viacom their shares of $131,827,980. It's a contractual overpayment, the overpayment to which they are not entitled. Viacom claims that the payment was a result of miscalculations, and the shareholders are only entitled to $18 million. Ooh, this is going to be good. Okay, so the lawsuit filed in Delaware federal court also claims that the defendants are in breach of the merger agreement. Yes, Viacom. The Harmonix shareholders actually filed a lawsuit against Viacom last year, claiming the company manipulated Rock Band figures to cap their earnout payment and say the original $150 million payment was insufficient. Viacom acquired Harmonix back in 2006, and of course it sold Harmonix in February, and the studio was picked up by a private investment group, Columbus Nova. Wow.
Yeah.
Here's the... How could you miscalculate by over 800%?
I don't know, but somebody did somewhere, and that is...
It sounds to me like somebody needs some money, and they're doing what they can to get it.
Sounds to me like somebody needs to be smacked.
Yeah. All right. What you got, or do you want me to go again?
Oh, no. I've got stuff. Let me grab it. All right, stop playing game rating board targets, Jack.
That could be taken all the wrong way.
Get your mind out of the gutter.
And on Twitter, Bad Horace, bad. I told him, you guys, to break it up or I'll turn this podcast right around. And he said, you're touching me. Talking about you.
He liked it.
Yeah. And I shall tell him.
All right, so GamePolitics.com this morning, South Korean game rating board targets jackpot items in MMOs. The South Korean game rating board, the GRB, has accused several MMO publishers of obstructing an investigation related to in-game jackpot items, according to a report in This Is Game. The GRB wants to know from game makers if the in-game purchase of jackpot items should be considered gambling. The jackpot item system lets players set a mount and The jackpot item system lets players pay a set amount of in-game currency in return for a random item of potentially greater value. The GRB has asked 10 MMO publishers to provide details on in-game systems that offer such features. This includes NeoWiz, Smilegate, CJ, WeMade, NCSoft, Actosoft, M-Game, NHN, Nexon, and Hambisoft. Publishers have cooperated in part to the GRB's request, giving up the item names, costs, and virtual currencies involved in the transactions, but there are some refusing to provide information on payout percentages. Forgive me, this is not translated very well, I'm working it out slowly. All right, the publishers say that the information is of a confidential nature because it relates to their business models and does not fall under the jurisdiction of the ratings board. The Korean industry self-regulates on gambling by following a set of rules established in 2008, but the GRB openly questions if MMO publishers are still following those rules. GRB Chairman Soo Kyun Lee says, "Game companies ask us why GRB tries to touch their business model and refuses to our request. But the jackpot item is a constant of the game. We don't care whatever they do outside of the game, but what does matter to us is that it is part of the game. There should have been no problem if they have followed the criteria they have made by themselves, but we doubt they are abiding by it now. To us, it is nothing more than a dead recommendation. Okay, so they say they will continue to follow the story as it develops. I will continue to trip over it as it develops because it's poorly translated.
Did you say trip over it?
Wow. I was trying so hard not to stutter during it. But yeah, some of that was not. My brain was like, wait a minute, no, that does. Those words don't work together. No, wait a minute, right. That's not grammatically correct.
All right. I'm sorry. I'm arguing with people over at Gamma Sutra.
oh, somebody in trouble?
Well, mostly people that make comments. There's a lovely article over, if you love statistics, as you all know I do. A survey was taken by market research firm Information Solutions Group that released results of a social gaming survey commissioned by social game studio Kabam, noting that social games are gradually attracting more hardcore gamers over from traditional game platforms. The Social Gamer Study, which surveyed just over 1,400 gamers in the U.S., found that around 82% of hardcore social gamers, someone who's played a core genre on a social network, also play console games, and that the social game playing is disrupting their traditional gaming habits. I have to agree in that. Overall, 41% of U.S. internet users have played social games, although the study noted that hardcore social players tend to stick with the game for longer periods of time than more casual social gamers. So on average, more than 68% of hardcore players play for 3 hours or more each day compared to 43% of casual social gamers. And these hardcore social gamers noted that they were playing on their games consoles less, with an average of 50% decline in spending on console titles. While the study was conducted by Information Solutions Group, it was also commissioned by social game startup Kabam, the developer of new games designed to attract core gamers to social gaming. More recently, the company announced a new game, which is one I'm in, the beta for the Godfather franchise, which is actually pretty interesting. My family's really they're in the middle of a war, and I have not been in to fight. So I'm coming, guys. Just relax. it's a busy week. I'm coming back. The Mata Hari's going to come back. Anyway, Carl Fry, the director of Information Solutions Group, explained the study. He said this research goes further into segmenting and identifying gameplay habits of hardcore and casual social gamers than any previous study. He says while casual social gamers skew female and older, hardcore social gamers skew male and younger, in line with typical core gamer demos. Based on 3 survey results, hardcore social games are increasingly stealing playtime from core games. This kind of goes along with something we've been saying for years. Hardcore has nothing to do with what you play.
Yeah.
It has to do with what, if you love what you play. And as we've told, as I just said on their comments, we've been saying this for years. There are people now that I know, and I know of one of my friends, she listens to the show every now and again. She might be listening this morning. I don't know if she has class, but she is hardcore Cafe World. I don't know why. She likes Cafe World because I lost interest in it years ago. I think I sometimes play in the winter because I'm trying to figure out how to make French onion soup, but from the game, and that just kind of gets me in the mood, and that's like a 15-minute playtime. But she is so hardcore, she will go to the store. You know they sell the game cards in the store? You guys seen those Walgreens? She'll buy those. She's the person who's buying these, and she knows all the ways to maximize how much you serve and the layout of your restaurant, and that makes her hardcore social gamer. She loves it. But she's actually casual on the other side. You know, every now and again I'll call her. She's like, oh, I was playing a little bit of Dead Island and I was playing a little bit of Left 4 Dead. It's nice. But I got to go back and play my Cafe World.
And you know what? But if you enjoy it, if that's what you are excited about and passionate about, go for it.
Yeah. Same with my cousin I talk about often, Bejeweled, hardcore. I told you, any of you, anytime, and I will put money on this, any of you out there that wish to challenge her, you let me know. We will set it up. We will put money on this. I guarantee you she's going to kill you in it because I don't know what she sees. The same way some of you, when you're playing Halo, are just good at it. Something about the Halo
triggers your brain. You know exactly what to do. You know, almost psychic. You can figure out the next person's move. And she's the same way with Bejeweled. She's, you know, she'll go down and clear out the whole freaking screen, and you're trying to figure, why did she see that? It was one jewel that she flipped, and bam, the whole screen blows up, and, you know, she's got like a million, and you're sitting at 1,000 points. That's what she's good at. That's her hardcore game. She loves it. She's talking about, I need to make Bejeweled T-shirts. No, stop it. But that's, everybody has their game. That's what I believe.
Yep, everybody does. Everybody has their game. I'm still looking for my game again. I'm missing my game.
They're all my games. I'll play anything.
I play them, but they, I've not found anything like Dark Age Camelot since. Oh, and
they want the ginger right on time. It's time to go.
Apparently.
Apparently, allegedly. So we will see you guys later tonight. It's going to be a good discussion because, you know, I'm just going to let Snow go off, and then I'm going to go off. You know, Ginger's going to be in the chat room throwing in her fight. We may have to pull you in at some point because it's going to get I'm not saying it's going to get ugly. I wanted to tell you, and I'm going to say this on the air. This should fuel it. We did have a guy that sent us a video via Twitter that, was exposing the girls that are trying to do the website. And the only reason we didn't post it up is because I didn't like his comments. And I imagine the girl sitting next to him in the video that was helping him do this expose probably didn't like his comments either. And I'll explain to you why later, why we didn't post that video.
Yay. You're exactly. He just totally ruined his point, didn't he?
Yeah, you're exactly the reason why I don't want these girls or these women doing this. Your comments are exactly why. Thank you. You proved my point. But we'll be talking about that later on tonight.
Nice.
See you guys later. We are out of this piece.
Later, peeps.
Just know the music is not going to be. Mwah! Later, peeps.